less tourism, more hospitality. The current crisis has brought the global industry to a halt, and it is slowly starting to wake up, as in all sectors, many of those who work in it dream of a return to the world of before, of the same crowds, the same cheap planes, the same travelers who have come from afar to crowd into their homes, the same visitors crammed into restaurants and museums. And yet, shouldn't we take into account the lessons of the current crisis? It teaches us that travel should be infinitely more regulated, to avoid the spread of pandemics in the long term, to reduce fossil fuel consumption, and to avoid harming the protection of our heritage and natural areas. For example, it would be reasonable not to see any more low-rise buildings on the sea in the Venice Lagoon, nor millions of tourists on Thai beaches. Coming from Asia or America to Europe will therefore become more difficult. It is true that tourism, as it is practiced today, is not the main factor in global warming, but it is one of them. It is not the main factor in the destruction of nature, but it is one of them. It is not the main factor in the spread of pandemics, but it is one of them. It is not the main factor in the reduction of biodiversity, but it is one of them. And if we don't admit it, all that we will have gained through more reasonable behavior will be lost through this kind of drift. We must have the courage to admit it. Old-fashioned tourism is dead. Even if many people will refuse to admit it for a long time to come. Many countries and many companies in the sector have begun to understand this. And behavior will change. Some will assume that tourism is reserved for the richest people, who will be able to pay full price for plane tickets, and afford the limited, and therefore, expensive, number of hotel rooms offered by countries or cities that want to protect their heritage and reserve it for the rich. Others, more democratic, will set up systems of lottery and quotas to define the number of people who can visit each year. Bhutan seems to have chosen the first strategy. In France, the Louvre Museum will choose the second. This will eventually have an impact on the growth of the number of foreign tourists in Paris and even in France. All in all, if it does not change, tourism will in the future be reserved for those who are served by fortune, that of money or that of fate. Finally, others will understand that the future of the tourism industry no longer lies in the growth of the number of visitors, as it was conceived until now, massive and anonymous, but in the considerable improvement of its impact on the environment and on nature, and in the extension to other sectors of activity, of a particular dimension of tourism, which certain cities and certain firms have always practiced, hospitality, that is to say, around everything that goes from welcoming to attention, to empathy, to helping the well-being of those we receive. Hospitality is not just about natural gifts. It requires very specific skills, which are needed in many other fields than tourism. For example, company headquarters and hospitals would have much to gain from using these skills. Companies could find ways to keep their employees, who are increasingly distanced by teleworking. The quality of the reception at the workplace will play an important role in the loyalty to a company. Hospitals could also better continue to improve their hospitality dimension by making even greater use than some of them do of specific hospitality skills, both for patients and nursing staff and for accompanying families. The tourism industry will find new, exciting, profitable, and socially useful markets here.